So now we're on to the second half of this audio, if you will. I basically have broken it up into three sections. And the first section being the passion, persistence, and vision, what I call the imperatives of success. The second half being the things that keep us from getting there, the psychological sabotage that we do to ourselves. And anyway, we allow it to happen. And then the third part, which we'll get to a little later, is going to deal in a large part with the change process, why people have trouble actually making the change. It's kind of a brief study of it, but it'll give you the nuts and bolts. The FOLB syndrome, that stands for F-O-L-B, which is the fear of looking bad. If an illness were measured by the medication prescribed to treat it, the grand prize winner would have to go to the drugs prescribed to treat people and their anxieties, which of course are fed greatly by mostly irrational fears. Included in this, of course, would be the alcohol, drug, and food-addicted people of the world, those that self-medicate to control their difficulties coping with life. This leads us to the first of our core stoppers, the most common of all psychological issues that hold people back from succeeding as entrepreneurs, is the fear of looking bad. This fear is ultimately tied to the fear of losing control, which is further linked to the biggest fear of all, fear of death. Though the fear of death, rated as the worst of all fears, gets called into question by those that commit suicide. Of course, not all suicide is linked to the fear of looking bad, but there are certainly numerous cases where people have been so humiliated for something that they've done or failed to do that killing themselves was not near as bad as facing the public scrutiny. You see, there are forms of death that are worse than dying. In these cases, it was the death of self, or at least the death of what they projected to their public as self. Many of us spend our days not in growth management, but in image management. We want those around us to think that everything is just fine. Our desire to maintain this false reality, this anxious state that says, I'm looking good, I'm under control, I'm on top of it. How bad we need to look this way is in direct proportion to the risk that we're willing to take. If this is strong in our minds and our imaginations, we'll rarely take the risks necessary to win. Because losing control means you may look bad. You risk that. You'll be pulled out of your comfort zone. And in a nutshell, that's why we tend to do the same things every day. You see, we survived yesterday. And this reinforcement of breathing air, day after day, provides a security few of us care to challenge. And just to clarify, not to confuse, the fear of looking bad is a general term that covers a range of feelings including humiliation, self-doubt, loss of control, meaninglessness, being proven wrong, being exposed, having your ego bruised. Inside, we're all still afraid that we'll be the last one to get picked for the kickball team. A man showing no sign of distress gets up, walks calmly to the restroom, and without alarming anyone, with no ruckus, he slips into a restroom stall and quietly dies. Cause of death? Asphyxiation. He choked to death on a chicken bone. Not only is this a true story, but this man represents perfectly the unwritten rule that under no circumstance are we to show weakness or to look bad. Do you know that more people dance when it's dark and sing when no one can hear them? If we hold back on the fun things in life for fear of looking bad, think of the things that involve a higher liability, a bigger risk of looking bad. How much of our behavior is centered around our fear of looking bad? How much do we remove from our realm of what's possible? These core stoppers, these things I'm sharing with you and getting unstuck, need to be looked at as, in essence, like filters on a camera. These core stoppers, as I call these five main things here in getting unstuck, I call them core stoppers. They're in essence like filters on a camera. We lay them on top of our cognitive lens, one at a time. And though we think we're seeing the full picture, what we're actually seeing is a fear-filtered reality. How does it affect our financial, spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental life? And the story of the man choking in the restaurant, let me tell you what he really choked on. He choked on his fear of looking bad. His fear of looking like he wasn't in control. It's obvious to see he's facing the worst of all bad things, death. But his drive to keep from looking bad is so strong he chokes to death. Not on a chicken bone, but on his fear of looking bad. Ultimately, when you really think about it, that's what he choked on. There's only one type of person that doesn't fall prey to this fear. Let me repeat that. There's only one type of person that doesn't fall prey to this fear, and that's the person with an ego too fragile to admit it. And guess why? For fear of looking bad. American psychiatrist Thomas Sayes says, "Every act of conscious learning requires the willingness to suffer an injury to one's self-esteem. That's why young children, before they're aware of their own self-importance, learn so easily. And why older people, especially if vain or, quote, important, end quote, cannot learn at all." The fear of looking bad knows no boundaries and leaves no culture alone. Even those that say they don't care what others think say so because that statement projects a sense of power and therefore helps them to promote an image of looking good. As a small business consultant, I see this one quite a bit. It's often disguised as something different, but I can assure you it's alive and thriving in the modern world. People fear the possibility of failure. Living life as it is offers up a more comfortable, stable existence. Stepping out of this realm comes with consequences that many people are not willing to endure. How does that come out in business? Well, let's take a look at it. Not making an offer on a property, but instead meeting with seller after seller until finally we quietly sneak out of that business and to the next big thing. Or we get one good lead, one exciting opportunity, and we soak up the high on that for as long as we can, instead of picking up the phone to call the next opportunity. Because after all, this one makes us feel good. And though we may not know it, we don't want to jeopardize feeling good with something that makes us feel bad. I've seen people that'll ride that high for a week, a month, or more, chasing down that one deal, that one prospect. I've done it myself. We're all too often found building a reputation on what we're going to do, not on what we've actually done. There's no doubt that we're raised from day one to project the illusion that everything is under control. Even animals in the wild are genetically programmed to fake being strong, even when they're weak. I've seen that in my 9-pound dog. I've seen him limp, and then a minute later he's not limping anymore. He'll fake it. You can see just a little bit. As humans, we're no different. By pretending to be something we're not, we can fool the world, or at least we think. In fact, we work so hard to fool the world and do it for so long that we forget and we fool ourselves. So many of us spend our lives talking it, not walking it, and after all is said and done, more is said than done. I know you can get unstuck from these habits. I know you can get unstuck from these traits, because I've had to do it myself. What we tend to do is build mental blocks and hurdles up in life that are generated out of fears that nearly always fail to materialize. We exist much of our lives responding to false thoughts based on mostly false beliefs that we acquired when we were too young to reason. The things that we say to keep from looking or feeling bad and to keep that admiration machine spinning come out publicly like this. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm not ready yet. Just one more year and I'll be there. I can't. I don't really care. Time will tell. I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I'll do it soon. You know, you just can't trust anyone. I'm going back to college first. It's important to grow one little step at a time. If I wasn't so tired. Wait until summer rolls around, then I'll do it. I don't watch much TV, but the other day, when I think of what I learned in college about psychology, I can't help but recall the 8 main anxiety defense mechanisms that have stood the test of time in the world of psychology. And we use them as if they were just these free trinkets to throw out. And we use them to keep from looking and feeling bad. Here's just a quick refresher or introduction. And I bring them up because they all keep us from hurting our ego, which, yep, you guessed it, keeps us from feeling bad. Number 1, denial. People living near a volcano disregard the dangers involved. Number 2, repression. It's a huge one. The involuntary exclusion of a painful or conflictual thought or impulse or memory from awareness. Maybe a business failure, childhood abuse that could be repressed. Number 3, projection. Attributing one's thoughts or impulses to another person. Here's an example. A man unable to accept that he has competitive or hostile feelings about an acquaintance says, "He doesn't like me." That's projection. Number 4, displacement. We kick the dog, not the boss. We take up weightlifting to blow off steam that otherwise would have come out on the family or friends. And now, just so you know, not all of these things are bad. I'm just saying these are things we do to fight from feeling bad. Reaction formation. A man violently dislikes an employee. Without being aware of doing so, he bends over backwards to not criticize the employee and even gives him special privileges and advances. Number 7, rationalization. A man buys a new car, having convinced himself that his older car won't make it through the winter. And then number 8, undoing. Two close friends have a violent argument. When they next meet, they each act as if the disagreement had never occurred. With all these things, all 8 of these anxiety defense mechanisms, they're used to keep us from feeling like we'll lose control and look bad. All of them protect our egos from having to deal with pain. Hands down, of all the things that hold us back from achieving great success in our lives, the fear of looking bad seems to be the one most prevalent in the world of entrepreneurs, but even more so in the world of wannabe entrepreneurs. Begin to train yourself to be honest with your internal dialogue. Get present to what you say to yourself and to others to keep from looking bad. What that means is conversations not only with others, but more importantly with yourself.